All right, well, we are going to be in a little six-week series for the next 6 weeks here. Last week, I kind of gave the challenge of what we're going to be doing just a little bit more of for the year ahead, and the challenge was that we might do just a little bit of something to help us address an issue in our life that needs growth, that we need to put into practice if we want to spiritually grow and be who God wants us to be. And so for the next 6 weeks, we're going to be taking a look at some areas in our life that we can assess, that we can take a look at and see where we are and where we need to be. And if you were here last week, you know that assessment is nothing new to us. We do it all the time. We had Cindy come up, and we talked about going to the doctor. If we know that there's something wrong with us physically, we go to the doctors, and the doctors assess us, and they figure out what's going on. And so that's nothing new to us. Brad came up, my trainer, and he put me through. My understanding was he really wanted to hurt me in front of you guys. I was very glad that I had control of the time. But you go to your trainer, and he shows you. He does a little assessment. He figures out where you are, and then he helps you to go where you want to be by giving you steps to take. And once you get done with the assessment, we make some decisions to address those areas that we need to. And we do just a little bit of something to help us to get farther down the road from where we are. And a little bit of something can make a big difference in our lives in all kinds of areas, in our physical health, in our well-being. But we also said it's true for us spiritually. If we do just a little bit more of some things, we can grow spiritually. And so we're going to look at these key areas, these six key areas. Another way you could call it six key spiritual disciplines that we might take a look at so that we can grow and mature. Now, when you hear the word discipline, it just brings all kinds of joy into your life, doesn't it? I remember this sound, and that was the maple switch, my father walking back to the chicken barn for my twin brother and me. Now, so that kind of discipline is not what we're talking about here, all right? I'm not talking about that kind of discipline. What are spiritual disciplines? Well, let me start with just a definition of the word. You know, I went to the dictionary. It says, training expected to produce a specific character or pattern of behavior. So some sort of training that we are going to do, and out of that training, we're going to see some sort of change. If I want something to be different, I need to do something. I am here, and I want to go there. That means I need to be doing something. And that's what a discipline helps us to do. It helps us to make forward progress. And discipline is a natural component of our spiritual life. In fact, almost anything of significance will only take place in our life, is ever accomplished. It won't happen without discipline. And so spiritual disciplines are very much the same. And they can be described as those behaviors, those things that we do that enlarge our spiritual growth and enable us to grow to spiritual maturity. And so we can say, I want to be the most mature Christian in the world, and then don't do anything, it's probably not going to happen. But if I do some things or some behaviors, it's going to help me to grow and mature. And the moment you come to faith in Christ, that process begins. The moment you ask Jesus to come into your life, we are made brand new. In fact, one of my favorite verses is in 2 Corinthians 5:17. It says this, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come, the old is gone, the new has come. We're brand new. He says we're born again, which is in the Greek word, means we're born from above. And that's all it means. We're physically born, and then we're also born from above. That's not where we stop. And I think a lot of Christians are just happy to be saved, but they don't grow. And I read this verse last week in 1 Peter 2:2, like newborn babies crave pure spiritual milk so that by it you may grow up in your salvation. We're not where we need to be yet. And so we need to do what? We need to grow. And in order to grow, we need to put some disciplines in our life. So discipline isn't a bad thing. It's a good and necessary thing for us in many, many ways in all of our life. So we're going to look at these six disciplines. We're going to look at abiding in Christ, living by God's word, praying in faith, building godly relationships, witnessing to the world, and then ministering to others. And at the end of the each week, we'll take an evaluation of the area we're going to address. And then at the end of the 6 weeks, we're going to put it all together, and we're going to pick something that we're going to work on. End of the year, we'll take a look, see where we are compared to February to where we are in December. So we'll see what kind of spiritual growth we made. So we're going to start by looking at the first discipline this morning, which is to abide in Christ. And Mike picked out songs that had that in us and tried to explain it to us in our songs that we're singing. But when was the last time you used the word abide in a sentence? It's not one of those words that we use a whole lot of. I shall abide by your decision, church board, right? That sounds pretty good. Or I shall abide here until I'm asked to do something different. We don't speak that way usually, do we? So again, what do you do? I said, how do we understand that? You go to the dictionary. Let me read some of the definitions that the dictionary had for us when it talks about abide. To bear patiently, to endure without yielding, which means you stand there and you don't give in. You don't try to get out of it. To wait for, to accept without objection. Now, the accept part might be easy, but without objection, a little bit harder. To remain stable or fixed in a state or continue in place, to conform to. And so when I kind of looked at all those, I said, what would be a word that would wrap all that up? And I came up with stick-to-itiveness. Right? So next time you read the word abide, you say stick-to-itiveness. You can put that in there. Standing firm, staying firmly connected to whatever is going on, not trying to get out from it, right? So in the New Testament, we come to that word, and the word is abide. And when we find in the word, in the New Testament, that word can be used all kinds of different ways. So I did a little word search on my computer program, and on the screen, you will see all of my hard work, which was a left-click, copy, paste. That's how hard it was. The dictionary, the program did it for me. But you'll see the three key ways that the word meno is used is to remain, stayed, or to live, lived, or lived. And if you go to 1 John, you'll find he uses the word live, the English translation. We'll find in the Gospel of John, you find the word remain. It's very interesting, as I was studying that word, we find out that the word is used 112 times in the New Testament, the word remain or meno. John, who's the author of the fourth gospel, he's also the author of 1st, 2nd, 3rd John, he uses that word 66 of those 112 times. So you can find out that word is very, very important to him. In the Gospel of John, he uses it 40 times, and in 1st John, he uses it 26 times. And so for John, it was very important that he communicated the importance of remaining or staying or living in Christ. One of the key passages that many of you have read before, that you've read this word and maybe not even paid attention to it, is in the Gospel of John, chapter 15. And I'm going to read 1 through 17 for you, and I want you to listen for the word remain. It might be underlined. I underlined it in mine. I'm not sure if it made it there. So why don't we stand as I read God's word to us this morning. John wrote these words, John 15, 1 through 17. I am the true vine, and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of me that bears no fruit, while every branch that does bear fruit, he prunes so that it will be even more fruitful. You are already clean because of the word I have spoken to you. That's when you became a Christian. When you became a Christian, you were made clean. You are already clean because of the word I've spoken to you. Remain in me, and I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. You will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. If you do not remain in me, you are like a branch that is thrown away and withers. Such branches are picked up, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you remain in me and my words remain in you, ask whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. This is to my Father's glory, that you bear much fruit, showing yourselves to be my disciples. Not talking about it, showing yourselves to be my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so have I loved you. Now remain in my love. If you keep my commands, obedience, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commands and remain in his love. Why does he say all this? I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command. I no longer call you servants because a servant does not know his master's business. Instead, I have called you friends. For everything that I learned from my Father, I have made known to you. You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you so that you might go and bear fruit. Fruit that will last. And so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. This is my command. Would you read that with me? Love each other. Amen. Please be seated. Very clear from John's words to us that it is important that we remain in Him. And He reminds us that He remains in us. It's an active involvement that results from us choosing to actively be engaged. I want us to notice something here, and I just said a little bit of it. The remaining here is reciprocal. It's not just something that Jesus tells us to do by ourselves. It's very clear from this that we are to remain in Christ. But John wants us also to understand that Jesus really sets the example for us by faithfully abiding, by faithfully remaining in us. No matter what we do as Christians, He says, I am going to remain in you. Look what He says in verse 4. Remain in me as I also remain in you. Verse 5, if you remain in me and I in you. And then verse 7, if you remain in me and my words remain in you. It's pretty amazing. Not only are we told to do it, Jesus shows us exactly that's what He does. When we make a decision to follow Christ and receive Him as our Savior, as the one who saves us, as our forgiver, as the one who's going to lead us as our Lord, He promises that He will never, ever, ever, ever leave us. No matter what, He never leaves us. At the end of our Great Commission, we say that verse here a lot, but the very last verse, Matthew 28:20, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you, and here it is, and surely I'm with you sometimes to the very end of the age. Is that what your version says? It doesn't say sometimes, right? When does it say? Always. But Wendell, you know when I did? Yep, always takes care of that. But I didn't do, I know, you didn't do, but this verse says, I'm with you. What is the word? Always. So He remains faithful to us, even when we're not faithful to Him. And so He tells us, I want you to obey me. I want you to remain in me. He remains us, and He doesn't give up. So how could He do it? How could He do that? Why does He do that for us? Well, I want you to listen to the Gospel of John. This is in chapter 14, so it's a few chapters later. But Jesus said this, don't you believe that I am in the Father and that the Father is in me? The words that I speak to you are not for myself, but the Father who abides. Oh, there's that word. The Father who remains. There's meno. The Father who abides in me does His work. So out of Jesus' personal union as God the Son with God the Father comes His words and His works, and what do? They manifest to us the whole character of God. We're able to see God reflected through Him. We see the same thing in John chapter 10. It says this, do not believe me unless I do the works of who? My Father. But if I do them, even though you do not believe me, believe the works that you may know and understand that the Father is where? Is in me, and I'm in the Father. If it's in that relationship that Jesus had with the Father, that He was faithful to Him, that we can look to the example that He sets for us. He never tells us to do something that He hasn't lived for Himself or understands and then tells us, you need to stick with me, you need to remain. Now, it's pretty clear what happens if we don't remain. John 15 paints a pretty clear picture for us. If we're not connected, we die. So, in case you've never read the passage, just a little clarification. Jesus is the one who's speaking here. So, if you have a red letter edition Bible, you'll see those red letters. If you didn't know what that meant, those are Jesus' words to us. He's actually speaking here. And so, Jesus, God the Son, is the vine, right? God the Father is the gardener. And what are we? We are the branches. So, off of the branches, you and me, is supposed to be fruit. And the fruit comes out based on our connectedness to the vine. So again, verse 4, remain in me as I also remain in you. No branch can bear fruit by itself. It must remain in the vine. It must stay connected. Neither can you bear fruit unless you remain in me. I'm the vine. You are the branches. If you remain in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit. Apart from me, you can do what? Can you say that with me? Nothing. You can do nothing. So it's very, very simple. If we're not connected, we can't bear fruit. And if you have a grapevine that doesn't produce fruit, what good is it for? It's not good for firewood. It might make a wreath for you, but it's not what it was intended to be. It is supposed to be producing fruit. Now, nothing, there's a big Greek study that you can do in that, and what I came up with it after I got done, it means nothing. It really means nothing. You can't do anything. You can try, we do a lot of things apart, we try a lot of things sometimes apart from Christ because we have skills, we have our own natural abilities, we try to do in our own strength, but we'll never be who God wants us to be in our own strength. We'll never be able to take the steps of faith that God wants us to take without the strength that He provides for us. And that's why it's important to know if we are abiding, if we are remaining, if we're connected. So why would we go about doing this process? Why would we want to take time to say, am I really abiding in Christ? Well, there's a few benefits, I think, that we see in these verses out of John 15 that he points out to us. And when we live in union with him, number one, it says you will bear much fruit. So there you go. That's a pretty exciting thing. And I guess maybe what we should take a look at is that if we are not bearing fruit, then we should ask ourselves the question, am I abiding? Am I connected? Or am I just going through motions? Am I not growing and become everything that God wants me to be? Then you say, well, what's the fruit? What am I looking for? What is God trying to produce here? And I would just encourage us to look at Galatians chapter 5. It's a very familiar verse where it talks about the fruit of the Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, forbearance, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. I look at that list, and I see a list of things that I could be working on, that I really need to grow in. And so there is work for me to do as I continue to try being connected to Him. I hope that when you look at those things, you might say, at least there's one area that I could work on. So we will bear fruit if we stay connected. You will also receive what God wants, what you ask for in prayer from God. That's a pretty amazing promise. You will receive from God what you ask for in prayer. You did not choose me, this is verse 16, but I chose you and pointed you so that you might go and bear fruit, fruit that will last, and so that whatever you ask in my name, the Father will give you. That's pretty amazing. So what's he talking about? Lord, I pray for that red truck. Lord, it might just be in my driveway tomorrow. Is that the kind of prayer he's talking about? No. That's not the prayer he's talking about. So what happens when we abide in Christ and we get to know Christ, you know what happens? We start to only pray for the things that God wants us to pray for. And when we're praying for the things that God wants, guess what? He can do nothing but answer that prayer because it's according to his will. And so as we're abiding, we even become clear on what we're supposed to be praying for. I think that's really awesome. So we want to abide because we can bear much fruit, because we can ask for things in prayer and expect Him to do it. And here's one of my favorite ones. You will be filled with joy. You will be filled with joy. If you keep my commands, you will remain in my love, just as I've kept my Father's commands and remain in His love. And so he says, I've told you this so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. I many times have asked people, hey, what's your joy factor? Where are you at with Christ? Where are you at with what's going on in your life? That doesn't mean that life is difficult and it's challenging. You put on one of those little fake smiles. You tell everybody, it's peachy keen. It's far from that. It's able to say that God's in control and I'm trusting Him. And it's His joy, the very joy that Jesus had. Now, you think about it, what did Jesus face? He faced a lot of very difficult things, ultimately his death on the cross, and he still had joy. So maybe one of the first questions you should ask yourselves when you're not experiencing joy, am I abiding in Christ? Am I connected? Or am I going through the motions? And maybe I'm trying to do all these things to bring joy in my life, and all I need to do is connect with Christ so that He can produce the fruit in my life that He wants to, so that I can be praying for the right things and so that I can have joy. It's going to take effort on our part. You can't say, God, stop my car and never put our foot on the brake. Could He stop your car? Of course. Most of the time, he expects us to put our foot in the brake. And when it comes to spiritual growth and becoming connected, it takes effort on our parts. To abide in Christ really requires a daily dependence on the Holy Spirit. And with His help, by the strength of the Holy Spirit in our lives, we can do three different things. We can truly walk by faith. We can walk by faith, which really means this. We preach the gospel to ourselves. What's the gospel? The gospel message is we can do nothing in our own strength, our own power. The only thing we could do is come to Him and say we admit our brokenness and our sinfulness. He reaches out and He saves us. And when we preach the gospel to ourselves, we say, I can't live this life on my own strength, in my own ability, in my own strength. I need Jesus. I cannot do it unless I have Him in my life. And I need to be connected. The other thing we can do when we walk by the power of the Holy Spirit, we can end up spending focused time with Jesus. Because sometimes, I don't know about you, but you get your Bible. And this morning, I read in the book of Leviticus, and it was about the skin spots and the hair color turning yellow. And I'm going, God, I don't like this a whole lot. But I said, Lord, I'm going to stick to Your Word. And there's a few things about God's, what I got out of that. God wants us to be holy. And sin affects us in so many different ways. But it meant something to me. It wasn't just a list of all those things. Spend focused time. The most important way we do that is by being in the Word and by praying and then being in community with other believers. I don't need other people. Yes, you do. You can't do it on Sunday morning, all of this. You need people in your lives. And then one more thing the Holy Spirit does, He helps us to engage in intentional actions. So when I find myself in a place that I know I shouldn't be, where I'm struggling, I say, feet don't fail me now, and I run because I can't deal with that sin, whatever it is. And so I need to be very intentional. I'm going to choose to love people that sometimes are not very easy to love. I'm going to choose to forgive where everything in me wants to say, I'm going to tell you, but I'm going to say, no, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to forgive. We do the things because it sets us apart in this world. It's really what holiness is about, being set apart. That's what it means, that God wants us to abide in Him in such a way that we sense Him and He's guiding us and leading us. And maybe you hear all this, you go, wow, I'm so far from where God wants me to be. And that's not my point. My point is for us to be able to say, God, I just want to know if I'm connecting. So if you're overwhelmed, breathe deep. Let it out. And remember what we're here for. Lord, is there something here today that I can do to help me to be more of who You want me to be, to grow in this area of my life that I need to grow in? And Lord, would You show me what that is? So we're going to help you to do that by just taking, if you look in your bulletin right now, you'll see it up on the screen as well. It should be a little chart. It says Abiding in Christ. And so if you see that, take a look. I'm not going to read all of them. But you'll see there's some statements here for you to take a look at. I practice a regular quiet time and look forward to that time with Christ. So maybe I practice a quiet time. I'm not looking forward to it because I just want to be able to tell Wendell if he asks me, yeah, I'm reading my Bible. It's different than that, isn't it? I look forward to it because I'm going to be with my Savior. So how are you with that? When making choices, I seek Christ's guidance first. Oh, I wish I did. And so what I want you to do is take that little handout. Would you take it out right now? Take it right out. I'm not going to ask you to fill it out. What I don't want to do is find a bunch of them on the pews this Sunday. So I want you to take it out. I want you to fold it. I want you to take it and put it in your purse, in your pocket. At least it's out of here. You take it with you. Somewhere along the week, take a look at those statements and rate yourself on a scale of 1 to 5, I think is what it says. The instructions are on there. Just rate yourself. Hold that somewhere. Store it somewhere. Because at the end of 6 weeks, we're going to do this 6 times. We're going to give you another whole formula, have it all on there. We're going to take a look at where we're at. Okay? So take a look at that. How am I doing? And what am I doing? Because when you think about it, Christianity is far more than just holding a bunch of right beliefs, thinking the right thoughts. When we come to faith, at that very moment of our salvation, we enter into a union with God that changes our legal status before Him. We are forgiven. We are justified. It is just if I had never sinned, and that's how He sees me. And so not just believing the right things and thinking the right things about becoming because of our union with Jesus Christ. We have right standing. We have a righteousness that comes by faith. And that faith justifies us. I'm going to have us read Romans 3, 21-25 together in preparation for coming to this table. This table that is really an amazing representation of Jesus abiding with us, because every time we come to this table, we're reminded of what Jesus did. So I'm going to ask you to stand, and we're going to read Romans 3, 21 through 25 together. During this time, as you're reading, I just pray that God would just show you anything to confess before Him that you might be right. And just listen to these words about our standing with Him because of what He's done. Let's read Romans 3, 21 through 25. But now apart from the law, the righteousness of God has been made known, to which the law and the prophets testify. This righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and all are justified freely by His grace through the redemption that came by Christ Jesus. God presented Christ as a sacrifice of atonement through the shedding of His blood to be received by faith. He did this to demonstrate His righteousness, because in His forbearance He had left the sins committed beforehand unpunished. He did it to demonstrate His righteousness at the present time, so as to be just and the one who justifies those who have faith in Jesus. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, this morning we stand before You as we read Your word, and we are so grateful and thankful for it. We stand with these tables before us. And these tables remind us that not only have we been made right with You, not only have we been forgiven, we also have communion with You, the ability to be intimately acquainted and have relationship with You. Lord, the scripture in John 15 says we're no longer servants. In fact, You call us friends. Lord, we have access to a life-giving, soul-thrilling, joy-producing communion with God the Father through Christ. And Lord, we thank You that our faith is about union and communion. And so as believers, for any who trust You this morning, Lord, we come to this table. We come and we're reminded of Your life, Your death, Your burial and Your resurrection, and the blood that You shed for us. Thank You that we're not just existing, that we don't just get saved and that's it, but that we can be in a living, dynamic, growing relationship with You. And I pray as we come to the table, we just be overwhelmed with joy because of that. So we thank You. And as we come forward, I pray that You reveal to us anything, Lord, that You need to. We love You, and it's Your name we pray. Amen.